Good morning and welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program. We're glad that you've joined us this morning. Before we look at our lesson this morning, I wanted to let you know about our upcoming gospel meeting at the Memorial Boulevard Church of Christ. We're going to have a series of Bible lessons like a revival or a gospel meeting, and you're certainly welcome to attend, and we would be glad to have you to come. It will be held May the 8th, 9th, and 10th. And Brother Joel Plunkett from Nashville, Tennessee, will be holding our gospel meeting. You're cordially invited to hear God's Word. He will have five lessons, and we would like for you to come and hear those lessons. On Sunday morning at 9 a.m., What is Sin? At Sunday morning at 10 a.m., The Wrath of God. Sunday evening at 5 p.m., The Grace of God. And then on May the 9th, Monday, at 7 p.m., History Repeats Itself. And Tuesday, May the 10th at 7 p.m., What is Commitment? And these are going to be great lessons. And Paul says that all have sinned. And so the lesson on what is sin and how can I get out of that? And then two lessons that reveal opposites of God, the opposite sides of God, the wrath of God, if we do not get out of our sin, and the grace of God, how that we can be saved from sin. And then a lesson on how that history repeats itself and we need to learn the lessons from the past and then making a commitment to the Lord. So many people today just simply do not want to make that commitment to serve the Lord. So we would invite you to come to our gospel meeting May 8th, 9th, and 10th, Brother Joel Plunkett from Nashville, Tennessee. Many people in the Springfield area will also be receiving cards mailed to your house from the church, and it's also announcing this gospel meeting. If you'd like more information, you can call at 615-389-3250, or you can email me at chrisreevesmail@gmail.com if you would like more information about our upcoming gospel meeting. We're not going to ask anyone to make any donations. We're not going to ask anyone to stand up and give any kind of testimonials or anything like that. You're not going to be singled out and embarrassed in any kind of way, but we want you simply to come and visit and listen and learn as we come and worship God. And so I wanted to let you know about our upcoming gospel meeting. Please come and visit us. This morning, we're going to be talking about people who were in the wrong place at the right time. A lot of people choose to live their life in sin and make bad choices at a time when God wants them to be doing good things in life and right things in life. They're choosing the wrong things. And that is so true of many people. They're just living in sin and they don't want to make any changes in their life. And friend, you might be living that same way. We would plead with you to come out of that life of sin. Don't keep living in the wrong place. I'm not talking about a particular street that you're living on, a particular part of town, a particular area of the community. I'm talking about the wrong place of sin. And when we're living and walking in that life, we need to come out of that and do what is right. You know, in the Bible, there were some individuals who were in the wrong place at the right time. Turn with me in your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Genesis. I'm mindful of Abraham and Lot, his nephew Lot, and they were making some choices. They both had a lot of flocks, and they were traveling through Canaan land, and they had to make a choice of where they would go. And Abraham chose one place for his cattle, and Lot chose another place. And notice in Genesis chapter 10 and verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes. I'm sorry, Genesis chapter 13, verse 10. Genesis 13, verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before Jehovah destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of Jehovah, like the land of Egypt, as thou goest unto Zoar. So Lot chose him all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves from one another. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners against Jehovah exceedingly. And so Lot chose the well-watered plain of the Jordan, which included these two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. And so it was a very beautiful place, but it was a very wicked city. It was a very wrong choice. He was in the wrong place, towns that had homosexuality in it. If you turn to Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 and 5, the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was that of homosexual sin. And even today, it's condoned by many individuals, but it's an abomination. It's a sin in God's word. But here is a time where Lot is raising his family. We know from Genesis chapter 19 that Lot had some daughters, and they married men of Sodom. He's raising his family. It's the right time for raising your family. You get one time to raise them right when they're young. And yet he chose the wrong place to raise his family. He chose a place that was wicked and sinful and had evil influences. In fact, when Lot left Sodom and Gomorrah right before God rained down judgment upon them, right after that, we find in Genesis chapter 19 that Lot's two daughters got him drunk and wanted to lie carnally with him and actually had children by their own father, an incestual relationship. And so they were influenced by the culture around them. And that is just a terrible thing. We find in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, about Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot living there and God overthrowing those cities. And we're told that they were an example unto those that should live ungodly and delivered righteous Lot, sore distressed by the lascivious life of the wicked. He was distressed by the lascivious, sinful, immoral life of the wicked. Now, it was a beautiful place to look upon, and yet it contained a lot of immorality. Lot was in the wrong place at the right time, the time of raising your family. And what about us? In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, Paul writes that we are to raise up our children or nurture our children in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. We're to be raising our children on God's word and godly principles. And yet many people are raising their children in an environment that is counterproductive to what God wants for their lives. They're raising their children around drugs. They're raising their children around stealing and lying and sexual immorality and two people living together without properly being married and all kinds of immorality. And we're just simply in the wrong place. And we're raising our children in that way and in that environment, and they're going to be affected by that. Paul said that evil companionships corrupt good morals, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. And so, if we're choosing to live in the wrong place at the time when it's most critical in raising our family, we're going to lose ourselves and lose them. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, the proverb writer says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." We have one time to raise up our children right, and if we're in the wrong place while trying to do that, we're simply going to lose them and our own soul. Some people just live in the wrong place at the right time. Another individual that I can think of would be Jonah. Jonah was in the wrong place. Do you remember the story of Jonah and the whale? The story of Jonah is not just about Jonah being swallowed by the whale. And I would hasten to say that that is a true and accurate story. That's not just a fairy tale. Jesus in the Gospels refers to Jonah and in the belly of the whale, and Jesus believed that to be a true story. And so if Jonah and the whale is not a true story, then Jesus, that's not true either. Whatever Jesus says is not true either. And so we need to think about that. But Jonah and the whale is not just simply about a man being swallowed by a big fish. The story there is about God sending Jonah, because God is a merciful God, sending Jonah to preach to the Ninevites and to give them a chance to repent of their sin and to be saved. In Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the word of Jehovah came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." It's the time for preaching to Nineveh. It's the time for giving them an opportunity to be saved. And yet we find Jonah was in the wrong place at the right time. What was Jonah doing? He was running the opposite direction. So Jonah runs away from Nineveh and he gets on a boat to Tarshish, which would be modern day Spain. And he goes across the Mediterranean. And while he's out there, a storm rises up and he is thrown overboard and swallowed by a great fish. And he was in the belly of that fish 3 days and three nights. And we find that the Lord vomited Jonah out of that fish on dry ground. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time, saying, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." And when he did that, the text says that they repented, and God saw their repentance, and that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil which he said he would do, and he did it not. And so God saved them. But Jonah was in the wrong place at the right time. It was the time for preaching the gospel. It was the time for giving people an opportunity to be saved. And yet, he's running in the wrong direction. He's running away from responsibility. He's running away from duty. He's running away from the commands of the Lord. He's in the wrong place. And what about us, friends? We need to be taking the gospel to others. One reason why we have the Let the Bible Speak program is so that we can share the gospel with you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9 that the harvest is indeed plenteous, talking about souls that need saving. The harvest is indeed plenteous, but the laborers are few. And so we need to be busy taking the gospel to others. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. And so Jesus says, "Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest." Will you go? Will I go? In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, the church was scattered abroad. They went everywhere preaching the word. And yet sometimes today we have an opportunity to talk with our neighbors about the gospel, and we won't do that. We won't share with them God's word. We won't try to snatch them out of the snare of the devil. And we need to be doing that very thing. We don't need to run in the opposite direction. We don't need to run away from duty and responsibility and obligation and the commands of the Lord. But not just that, not just the command to preach to others, but any responsibility that is laid upon us in the New Testament. Quit running, friend. Quit running and going to the wrong place. It's going to come a day when we can no longer run in that judgment day, but it'll be too late to turn around. Quit running like Jonah and just do what he wants you, what the Lord wants you to do. I think about a couple of individuals in the New Testament. We've looked at Lot and Jonah in the Old Testament. What about a couple of individuals in the New Testament? I think about the prodigal son. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 15. The prodigal son was in the wrong place at the right time. You see, this was a time in his life as a young man where he could have been serving the Lord. He could have been serving his father. He could have been doing good things for others. And yet we find that he takes his inheritance and runs off and squanders it in immoral living, wasting his youth, wasting those years that could be served for the Lord and others. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 11, Jesus said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of thy substance that falleth to me.' And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that country, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave him unto eat. But when he came to himself and said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I am here perishing with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father." And of course, the rest of the chapter there is how he is reunited with his father and how that God is looking for sinners to repent and come to him. But I think about this young man wasting his youthful years in the service of the devil. I think about Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, where Solomon writes, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. There are so many young people that are in the right place, the place of youth, and yet they're in the time of youth, but they're in the wrong place, running with the wrong crowd. And it doesn't take long. I have 4 children of my own. It doesn't take long for them to grow up, and they can quickly get out, and they're influenced by others. We have so many young people today on alcohol and drugs and sexual immorality and out of wedlock births, young people not married at all and having babies right and left. And it's just a waste of their youth that they could be using to serve God and serve others. And it's certainly, of course, not a waste to have a baby. That's not what I mean. But especially if it's out of wedlock and not a proper marriage, then it was just a baby that was born of fornication. And that's a shameful thing. And so we have so many young people engaged in all kinds of sexual immorality. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example to others." And that's a great time in a person's life. And a young person has a lot of energy. They can use that for the Lord and to serve the Lord and do what is right. And yet we find so many people like this young prodigal son off wasting his life and living with that which is sinful in the wrong place at the right time. Another individual that I think of when I think of this is Peter. Peter was in the wrong place at the right time. You remember in Matthew chapter 26, we find that Peter was denying the Lord on the night that Jesus was betrayed and that he went to trial and then later to the cross. We know how that Peter denied the Lord 3 times in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 69. Now Peter was sitting without in the court, and a maid came unto him saying, "Thou wast also with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." And when he was gone into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, "This man also was with Jesus." And again he denied with an oath, "I know not the man." And after a little while they came and stood, and they came to Peter, "Of a truth, thou also art one of them, for thy speech maketh thee known." Then began he to curse and to swear, "I know not the man." And straightway the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me 3. And he went out and wept bitterly. Peter was in the wrong place. He was warming his hands by the fire of the enemy, and he denied the Lord 3 times. He was in a place that was wrong, but it was the right time. It was the time for standing for truth. It was the time for standing for Jesus and siding with Jesus. And yet he acted like he didn't know him. Peter had a problem with this later in his life. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, he had a similar problem. He was associating with Gentile Christians, but when some Jewish Christians showed up, he acted like he didn't know the Gentile Christians, like he didn't want to be with them. And so he feared those around him and what others would think. And that's the problem on the night that Jesus was betrayed. He feared those around him. And so to save his own life, he denied the Lord 3 times. What about us? We need to stand for truth, and we need to stand for what is right. And we need to take a side and stand with Jesus. If we don't do it in this life, we're going to have a problem in the judgment day. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, "Everyone therefore who shall confess me before men, him also will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." And so that's something seriously to think about. Peter was in the wrong place at the right time, the time for standing for truth, and yet he spent it denying the Lord. And so think about Lot. Think about Jonah, the prodigal son. Think about Peter. These individuals were in the wrong place by choice. They were in the wrong place by choice. Lot chose to go to live in an immoral city. Jonah chose to run away from responsibility when it was the time for saving the lost. The prodigal son chose to waste his life, when it was the time he could have used for youthful service to God. Peter chose to deny the Lord three times when he could have spent that time standing for truth and standing with Jesus. These are choices that were made to be in the wrong place. What choices are you making, friend? If you honestly look at your life and you see that you're making those choices that put you in the wrong place of sin, I encourage you to come out of that today. Let us help you come out of that. You know, so many people, we could give some modern day examples of this. So many people are using their, maybe going out on a date, maybe they're young, and they're fooling around. They're engaged in sexual immorality and other kinds of things. When it is a time to build a proper relationship, it's a time to learn about each other and encourage each other, and yet they're spending that good time in the wrong place of sexual immorality. I know some others that go out when it's time to worship God on the first day of the week, and yet they forsake the assembly. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, the Hebrew writer says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves, as is the custom of some." We find that it's the time for worshiping God on Sunday, the first day of the week. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, they came together on Sunday, the first day of the week, to break bread or to take the Lord's Supper. And yet many Sundays go by and people are spending that going to some sporting event or going fishing or doing some project around the house or sleeping in bed or watching TV. It's the time to be worshiping God, and yet they're in the wrong place. And so many people of today have gotten so consumed with work that even they work on Sundays and don't even go to church services. And that's a shame. And they're forsaking the assembling of the saints. And so it just creeps into their life. And after a while, they're just in the wrong place on Sunday. Rather than being with Christians worshiping God in the house of God, they are in the wrong place. And we find it in other ways as well. It's a time where today we could be a member of the Lord's church, the New Testament church, be a simple New Testament Christian without any denomination. And then we find that so many people are in the wrong place. They're in the wrong church. They're in a human denomination. There's so many human denominations in Springfield and Robertson County, you couldn't even begin to name them all. And look at the names by which they call themselves, names that aren't even in the New Testament. At the Memorial Boulevard Church of Christ, we are a church of Christ, a church that belongs to Christ. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, Paul said, "The churches of Christ salute you." That's what we name ourselves, just simply a term that is found in the New Testament. We're Christians. Acts chapter 11 and verse 26 through 29, the disciples were called Christians. We don't use any denominational names, no man-made books or creeds. We just simply follow the New Testament. You see, it's a time where someone could be a member of the Lord's church, and yet they're in the wrong religion. Some are even in religions that don't even follow Jesus Christ, the Buddhist, the Hindu, the Muslim. These are individuals that don't even believe in Jesus as the Savior of the world. And so it's a time to be a Christian and to be a member of the Lord's church, and yet we find so many people seeking religion in the wrong place. There is one body, one church, and Jesus is the head over that. Ephesians 1, 22 through 23. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. Let's be a member of that New Testament body that we read about in the New Testament and not some man-made denomination that came many years after that. You know, it's time to be with the Lord and to be a faithful Christian, and yet we find so many people running around with the world. They've gone back into the world. They're doing the sinful things of the world. And we have to make some choices. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 33, that we need to put first the kingdom. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 24, that we cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon being riches, the things of this world, the things of this life. And so many people are worldly. They're engaged in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, 1 John 2:15. They are not doing what is right. They are just following the things of the world. They're in a wrong place at the right time when they could be following the Lord. They're in the wrong place. You know, there's some people that are not saved. They're not Christians. They've not obeyed the gospel. And it's a time to be saved. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, today is the day of salvation. It's the time to be saved, and yet so many people are in the wrong place. They're living a life of sin. Is that where you are, friend? Are you in the wrong place at the time that you need to be saved? You need to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. You need to believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess that with your mouth. Romans 10 verses 9 and 10. You need to live a faithful Christian life. Don't keep walking around out in the world living the worldly sinful life. It's the time to be saved. And so we find that Paul pleaded with individuals as he had opportunity to talk with them about the gospel. One person he did that with was Agrippa, King Agrippa, in Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. And Agrippa said, with little persuasion, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. Don't be almost persuaded, but be fully persuaded to come and obey the gospel. When Paul preached to Felix in Acts chapter 24, we're told in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25 that Paul reasoned of righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. Felix was terrified and answered, go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call upon thee. Some people say, well, not now, I'm just looking for a convenient season. Well, that's the devil talking. He wants us to put it off and to procrastinate. We need to obey the gospel today. Get up, repent, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Let us help you to do that very thing. Don't just say, well, when I have a convenient season, when I get this worked out, when I get that worked out, maybe next week, maybe the next time I hear the radio program or something like that. There may not be a next time, friend. Don't be like King Agrippa that said, almost persuadest thou me. I'm almost there. No, be altogether persuaded and come and obey the gospel. Are you in the wrong place at the right time? The gospel has gone into all the world. We have Bibles everywhere. It's the right time. We have the gospel that we can read and obey in our own language. It's the right time to come and obey, and yet you're in the wrong place. Let us help you get out of that. Don't be in the wrong place at the right time. You know, when the Lord comes again, we don't want to be in the wrong place. When the Lord comes again, we want to have obeyed the gospel and have been living faithfully in His sight. Don't be in the wrong place when the Lord comes again. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 7, at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of His power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might. Friend, if you're in that place when the Lord comes again, the place of not having obeyed the gospel, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, what do you get? Who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord. We don't want to be in the wrong place when the Lord comes again. If we can assist you to get out of that place and to come and obey the gospel, why won't you do that? Contact us and we will be glad to come study with you about the Word of God. Thank you for joining us this morning, and we encourage you to tune in next Sunday for another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. Thank you and have a good day.